Kedavach, Shavuot Tov, this is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. Tonight, our shiur is being sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas Izzy Chait, Alav HaShalom, Yisrael ben Meir Yochanan, Alav HaShalom, and in the zchus of our learning together, may the Neshama indeed have a great Aliyah. Before Pesach, we do two mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, and one is the mitzvah of Bittul Chametz. Bedika comes along with Biur, burning and destroying the Chametz, and Bittul is nullifying the Chametz, making it null and void. Bittul is a mitzvah from the Torah, and Bedika that leads to Biur is a mitzvah midra banan, according to most opinions. And I would like to talk for a couple of moments tonight just to think about and consider the significance, especially of the mitzvah of Bittul, because the mitzvah of Bittul comes from the Torah itself. What is the significance of this mitzvah? In order to think about this, I want to share with you a medrash. The Gemara says in Sota that when the Jewish people were gathered along the Yamsuf, as Jews sometimes are wont to do, a fight broke out. A fight broke out, or at least a disagreement, a dispute. And there are two versions of this dispute. Rabbi Yehuda says that what happened was the Jews were by the Yamsuf. Ze omer ein ani yored chilal hayom, ze omer ein ani yored chilal hayom. Everybody was saying, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, everybody into the Yamsuf, it's time for us to cross. So all the Shvatim, each Shevet said to the other, you go first. What do you mean you go? You go first, you go first. Everybody says you go first. And this is a fascinating thing to consider because Klal Yisrael has in our DNA the notion of Mesiras Nefesh. Right? Mesiras Nefesh is part of what it means to be a Jew. And this goes all the way back to Avram Avinu, who according to the Medrash, we know that Avram was willing to jump into the fiery furnace. From Avram Avinu all the way up until today, Jews are Moser Nefesh. Jews have been Moser Nefesh throughout history, which makes this Medrash so entirely striking. Why is it that Klal Yisrael, when, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when they were standing at the Yamsuf, each one was fighting and arguing the other one should go first? How does that even make sense in light of the fact that Klal Yisrael at the time had just come through witnessing the Ten Makos? Hashem, through Moshe Rabbeinu, made these promises. Every one of these promises came true. The biggest tyrant and their biggest enemy was forced to let them out. And now the Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, time to go in. And all of a sudden now they balk? Where's the Mesiras Nefesh? Where's the Emunah? Where's the Bitachon? So this is a very interesting question. To answer it, I would like to share with you a thought regarding Bittul Chametz. So the mitzvah in HaTorah, Bittul Chametz, is to nullify and void our Chametz. There's a dispute amongst the Rishonim, you know, what exactly that mitzvah is. So Rashi says that the mitzvah of Bittul Chametz is tethered, is tied to the Psukim in the Torah, where it says, b'yom harishon tashbisu se'or mibateichem, that you should tashbis, you should expunge the se'or from your houses. So Rashi says, when it says tashbitu se'or, you have to expunge the chametz, so the pasuk could have easily have said something much more simple. Tiva'aru. Tiva'aru would mean, you know, to expunge, to get rid of, or to burn, to destroy, says Rashi. From the fact that it says tashbitu instead of tiva'aru, from here we learn that the tashbitu, the expunging that we're talking about, is not a physical expunging, but it is a mental one. Bittul balev, hashbasa balev. So says Rashi. So it's basically, it's a mental idea. It's a mental idea of getting rid of chametz. Tosfos, however, takes a different approach. And Tosfos asks a bunch of challenging questions against Rashi. And based on these challenges, he comes up with his own approach. And he says, really, it's true that min haTorah, Bittul works, and Bittul is the key, but from a very different perspective than Rashi had. Toso says that Bittul is a manifestation of a different pasuk, not the pasuk of Tashbitu, of expunging the chametz from your house, but the manifestation of a different pasuk of Lo Yera Lecha Chametz, that chametz may not be seen in your home. It can't be your chametz in your domain. So says Tosfos, how do you remove the chametz from your domain? So Tosfos says, you're mafkirit. You make it, you declare it ownerless. So not like Rashi, who says that, yes, it's a mental thing, but it's about expunging it from your mind, expunging it from your heart. Hashabasa. No. Tosfos says that, yes, it's a mental thing, but this mental thing is that you're being mafkirit. You're declaring this ownerless. Okay. There is yet a third approach. The Ramban takes issue with Tosfos and says, how can you say that bittul, that nullifying your chametz, is a manifestation of making your chametz ownerless? That's not how hefker works. That's not how it's done. There's a certain ritual of how you make something hefker. You can't just say, I'm a vatel and it makes it hefker. You can't just say, you can't just do it necessarily, you know, in the privacy of your own home. Some opinions say you need a beis din to do it. You certainly can't make something hefker on Shabbos, and you can do bittul on Shabbos. And the Ramban has a bunch of other challenges to Tosos. So the Ramban says, you know how bittul works? Bittul is different. It's not that you're making something ownerless. What you're doing is that you are declaring that this chametz which you have is not even food. It's nothing. It's ke'ofar. Says the Ramban, lahotzio mitoras chametz ulachshivo ke'ofar she'eno roi la'achila. When you say it's bata, when you say it's null and void, this is not just making, you know, it hefker, ownerless. It's not saying that it's meaningless or I'm disconnecting from it. You're basically saying that this is not even chametz, it's not even food, it's nothing. And here, I believe, is where we get a very, very powerful understanding of what bittul is. So let's go back to our medrash. The medrash, and we'll tie it all together. The Medrash says that Bnei Yisrael, by the Yamsuf, each one of the Shvatim was saying, you go first, you go first, you go first. So Chaim Shmuel Levitz addresses our question, how could it be that Bnei Yisrael, by the Yamsuf, with everything that they had just experienced, had some lack of emunah bitachon, that they wouldn't jump into the sea, pushing everybody else to go first? Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that vadayim hayu mitzuvim lihikanes liyam, had the Jewish people been commanded to enter the sea, limsaras nafsham lamisa, to give their lives up, hayu koftsim liyam, they would have jumped in without even a split second of delay. To jump in, to give up their lives, that wouldn't have been a problem. Ela, but rather what was going on here, nitzdavu lihikanes liyam omenas lihinatzel, they were commanded to enter the Yamsuf, not to die, but rather to live. But this idea of being commanded to jump in to a sea with waves that were bounding about and to feel and believe like they were walking through a dry field, that was a level of emuna that they just did not have. In other words, to jump into the sea and say, okay, this is going to be terrible, this is going to be awful, but I'm prepared to give up my life, that they could do. But to suspend all of their senses and perceptions of reality and say, you know what, the water isn't water and air isn't air, and this is it, and to walk into the water, ki'ilu, that walking through the water they're going to be able to breathe and live, that was a level of emunah that they didn't have, and only Nachshon ben Aminadav was on that level that he was able to jump in. So in other words, the distinction, says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, is it had to have emunah bitachon to give up their lives, they were willing to do. But to have such bitachon, to suspend everything that they see of what is real and what is not, that was a leap which was just slightly too much. And this gets us back to the mitzvah of bittul. Bittul, at least according to the Ramban and others, it says that when you look at the chametz, the Torah wants you to take the chametz and to confront the chametz and say, this is not chametz. And in doing so, it isn't chametz. What does this mean? Chametz, as we know, represents intense gashmius. It represents the physical world as we perceive it, as we understand it. What did Klal Yisrael need to understand? That there's a Ribono Shel Olam, and the Ribono Shel Olam determines what's real and what's not. What's an illusion and what is real? And Bnei Yisrael had just come through Mitzrayim, and they, you know, what's real? Real is his paro. Real are his chariots. Real are his horses. And that is real. But the Ribono Shel Olam comes forth and says, there is a reality beyond that. There is a reality beyond that, and that is what you have to be able to get to. That is what you have to be able to see and experience. Very often in life, we feel like, you know, the chair, the table, the house, the brick and mortar, that is real. But sometimes people feel like, okay, God, the Ribono Shel Olam, so this is like abstract. You have to sort of believe in that. It's like a leap. But this is real. This I can sink my teeth into. But the truth of the matter is, it's punk fakert. It's just the opposite. The world that we live in, That is the illusion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real. And so the Ribbono Shel Olam, the mitzvah of the Torah says, on Erev Pesach, he got to pick up this chametz. You pick up the physical reality. Look at it. And you have to say, L'havei ke'afra de'ara. I understand that this is the illusion. You know it is real. You know it is long-lasting. You know it is eternal. I'll hook my wagon, as it were, to the flour and water of the matzah, not the big, beautiful bread. That's the illusion. The matzah is what is real, because the matzah is a mitzvah, and mitzvah is reality, and mitzvah is eternal. Our challenge in life is to be able to distinguish between what is real and what is the illusion. And the truth of the matter is that even though we feel through our physical senses that the world in which we live in is the real world, and sometimes to have emunah and bitachon feels like that's, you know, maybe it's a little bit harder to say that that's real. But it's exactly the opposite. Pesach is one big wake-up call to say what is real and what is not. Klal Yisrael had to go through the opposite. Klal Yisrael had to understand that it's not Mitzrayim, it's not the Egyptians, it's not Paro, it's not the chariots, it's not the horses, and it's not the soldiers that are real. The most powerful person in the world of the time was taken down by a power greater than he. Because this world in which we live in is ultimately the illusion. And what is real is what this world tells us is the illusion. And that is the challenge as we enter Pesach. So while most other mitzvahs, there's no mitzvah to pick up a ham sandwich and do bittul on a ham sandwich. But there is a mitzvah to take chametz on Erev Pesach, to say that I declare that I know what is real and what is not, what is eternal and what is temporary, what is important and what is the just the dust of the earth. The gashmius, while it is a valuable tool to my life, it's not ultimately real. It's not what defines me. It's the little flour and water that make up a matzah. That's what's real. And that's ultimately what I choose to define myself. So we pick up the chametz on Erev Pesach and we do bittul. Kol chamira v'chamia, all this chametz lehevei hefker ke'afra de'ara. It's like nothing. And with that understanding of reality, we can make the proper choices that not only would enable HaKadosh Baruch Hu to redeem the Jews of old, but also to bring us a ge'ula shlema b'meher v'yameinu. Amen.